delighted to be here with you again in a leave-in. Just like to extend my welcome. Thank you for coming, and we trust that God will bless our short time together. Now we're going to turn just for a verse or two. We don't need to turn to it, we'll just read it clearly. But it's in the book of Isaiah and chapter number 55. Isaiah and chapter number 55. Isaiah chapter 55, we're going to read from verse number 6. And we read these words: Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let's look at verse 6 again. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And notice that expression at the end of verse number 7. He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We were singing that just a few minutes ago, weren't we? Because on the cross he bled for me, and purchase there my pardon free. We're going to talk about that just in a few moments. Time. Now I've lived, for most of you know exactly who I am, and I've lived in Fife all my life. But if you're speaking to someone who doesn't live in Fife and doesn't live in Scotland, and maybe doesn't even live in the United Kingdom, and they ask you where you stay, I wonder what you say to them. And you tell them, oh, I come from Fife, and you just see a kind of blank look. You maybe don't know where Fife is, so you might reference it to St Andrews, and for some people that helps them understand where we come from. But you might just say that north of us is Dundee, and south of us is Edinburgh, and that would usually be sufficient to let people know where you come from. And of course, if you think about north of us to Dundee, you're thinking of the city of Discovery. And of course, you can go there and you can see the ship, the Discovery, that Sir Robert Falcon did his Antarctic exploration in, and it was built in Dundee, and it's now berthed in Dundee, and it's called the City of Discovery. But you know, if you go to Edinburgh, and for many, many years, I went on a weekly basis, if not a daily basis, and you soon discover that Edinburgh can equally be called a city of discovery. Now, just a few weeks ago, I met for the first time a second cousin, stays in Australia, was coming across, travelling a little bit in Europe, and there he was, and my dad and I, and my nephew, and Hannah, and I went across, and we met him. First time he'd been in Scotland. And of course, he was discovering the city. He was looking at the castle, amazed at it, and he walked down the Royal Mile, and all of these famous places associated with Edinburgh, and he was discovering them. And of course, tourists do it week in and week out. A number of years ago, I was out walking, as I often did, from the office on lunchtime, and I would go out and I'd walk down Prince's Street. And of course, usually you find that one side is thronged with people, but the other side less so, so consequently I tended to go down the other side. And as you go down there, and just for a few moments, I want you to think about this, Edinburgh, a city of discovery. As you go down there, you'll find a number of famous people are remembered down the left-hand side of Prince's Street. The very first one you'll come across is a statue to a famous man called David Livingstone. That intrepid explorer, that missionary that went across to Zambia and right across sub-Saharan Africa. And what an amazing man he was. And there's a statue to him. You just come out of Waverley Station and you're confronted with the statue of Sir David Livingstone. What discoveries he made. First European ever to traverse right across the continent of Africa. First man to discover the Victoria Falls. He discovered a thing called quinine, which if you're going to Africa, you really want, but you don't want to get malaria. Famous discoveries. He also went out there with the intention of abolishing slavery. Travelled those thousands of miles just to try and emancipate people, free people from slavery.
What an amazing man, what amazing discoveries. But you know something? Before he ever left Scotland, because that's where he came from, and before he ever went to Africa, he made the greatest discovery in his life. Oh, he didn't make the greatest discovery in Africa. Amazing discoveries, though, he did. But before he left, he discovered that there was somebody who had travelled a far, far greater distance. The Bible tells us about him. A man called the Lord Jesus, who left heaven and came down into this world 2,000 years ago, and we've just been thinking particularly about it over Christmas. What a journey he took. And of course, you've got to ask the question, why did he do that? And maybe as a younger person, David Livingstone asked that exact question. Why would the Lord Jesus leave heaven and come down to earth? And then he realised that he came for him. And he came for individuals who were in great need. Because David Livingstone, as a relatively young man, discovered that he needed the Lord Jesus more than anything else. And there was a day in his life when he discovered that he was a sinner. And he needed his sins forgiven. Oh, you say, is that a really important thing to discover? You know, it's the most important thing we could ever discover. Because if we don't discover that, and if our sins aren't forgiven, then we're not heading to heaven. And the Bible says we're heading to a place called hell, or the lake of fire. And consequently, it's so crucial. So as a younger man, he discovers this amazing thing that this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son, travelled an infinite distance down to this planet Earth just to go to a cross and to die and to be buried and to rise again. What a message. A message of hope. And David Livingstone placed his simple faith and belief and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Having made that discovery, he trusted Christ, and he was never ever the same again. Oh, he went on to do great things, great discoveries. He was there over in Africa for many years, helping to free people from slavery, but he himself had been freed from slavery. But back in Scotland, because he's seen as a tyrant. And if we're not saved tonight, then we're really gripped in the power of sin and Satan. And we're not free. The Bible tells us that. And yet the Bible also tells us the good news, because this is a bit of amazing good news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Read that in 1 Timothy chapter 1. What an amazing message. David Livingstone embraced it as a young man. And then he goes away out to Africa to make some more discoveries. Then you carry on walking down and you come across the biggest statue of all, of course, to a very famous author, a man called Sir Walter Scott. 287 steps from the bottom to the top, if you're willing to go up them and to count them. And Sir Walter Scott was an amazing man, a historical novelist. And he wrote Ivanhoe and he wrote Rob Roy and other amazing books as well. And he died a long time ago, but there's this massive statue to his memory. He loved books. There's some of us in here who love books. But possibly not as much as he loved books. And you can go to see his library just now, down in that house in the Borders. And he loved to read books. And he loved to write books. And he loved to keep books. Thousands of them. Tens of thousands of them. In his library and throughout his house. And at the end of his life ebbing away, he said to his son-in-law, Lockhart, just bring me the book. And of course, Lockhart was a wee bit confused because he looked around this house and he saw multiple books. And he asked, what book should I bring? He said, just bring the book. You see, Sir Walter Scott had made a discovery, just like David Livingstone. But Sir Walter Scott's discovery was this, that of all the books that were written and of all the books that he had read, and of all the books that he was keeping in his house, there was one book that was supreme. It was this book here. The Bible. An amazing book. Different from others, you see. Oh, Sir Walter Scott had written books. And he'd read books written by other people, but this came from God. God, the author of this amazing book. No contradictions in it. Written over 1,500 years by 40 different people. Most of them didn't know each other. And yet there isn't one single contradiction in the Bible. How amazing is that? And Sir Walter Scott soon discovered that this book was an amazing book. It's a living book.
And it was a book that told them about his Saviour, the Lord Jesus. It was a book that told him about God in heaven, the Father. It was a book that told him about his life, just exactly who he was. It was just like looking in a mirror. As he read it, he says, "That's just exactly me." So Walter Scott came to love this book. And as he discovered the wonders of the book, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ became important to him and became real to him and became precious to him, and he trusted him as his own personal Saviour. So here's another Christian. David Livingstone, great explorer, but a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone who had that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ to trust him. Sir Walter Scott, a great author. A famous historian. But somebody else who trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. One more. And then we're going to come to think of this verse in Isaiah chapter 55. As you keep going down, walking down, you've almost finished Princes Street, and you find there that there's a statue to a medical man, a famous doctor called Sir James Simpson. Sir James Simpson was a very clever man, and he was the one who, it's attributed, that discovered the thing called chloroform. So if you need an operation, you go into hospital, and you get put to sleep, and you wake up, and it's all sorted out. And so many people, millions of people down through the years, have been grateful for that amazing discovery of anaesthetics. And Sir James Simpson is attributed with that discovery. Now one day, he's in a room, maybe just like this, and he was there, and some of his medical friends and colleagues, and lots of journalists, and they were asking him questions. And they asked him this question. He says, "Mr. Simpson, tell us what your greatest discovery is." Of course, they were expecting him to say, "Well, the day I discovered chloroform, that's an amazing day." But that wasn't his answer. Listen carefully to his answer. He says, the greatest discovery I ever made was the day I discovered I was a sinner in the sight of God." The journalist was a bit confused and decided to press on and ask him another question. He says, "Well, if that was your greatest discovery, what's your second greatest discovery?" Thinking now that he would go on to the topic of medicine. And Mr. Simpson said, "Well, if my greatest discovery was this, I am a sinner in the sight of God, the second greatest discovery that I made in my life was that there's a saviour for a sinner just like me." And there was no further questions. You see, these are amazing discoveries. Oh, tremendous to discover chloroform. An amazing discovery that's helped so, so many people. But he says his greatest discovery was the day that he discovered that he needed to be saved. I wonder if you've made that discovery. Haven't there been a time in your life when it's just dawned on you? Perhaps sitting in this room, perhaps sitting in your house, and it's just dawned on you that you're not right before God and you're not ready for him. I can remember that day. That wasn't the day I was saved, by the way. That wasn't the day I became a Christian. There were many in this room can relate to that. I can remember being brought up in a Christian family. That means my mum and dad were Christians. They had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were going to heaven. But that didn't make me a Christian. Parents being Christians doesn't make you a Christian. Nobody's born a Christian. I wasn't born a Christian. But I came to services just like this, and I heard about the Saviour from this wonderful book. And there came that moment in my life when I was quite young, and I realised I needed him more than anything else. I realised that I, just like Sir James Simpson, that I had sin in my life. The Bible tells me that. It says all have sinned. I realised that if my sin wasn't forgiven, I wouldn't be going to heaven. My great concern as a young boy was this, that I knew the Bible talks about the fact that the Lord Jesus was coming back again from heaven. Well, you say, what's that? Well, you see, the Lord Jesus came 2,000 years ago to Bethlehem. But before he left, he told a few of his friends, "I'm coming back again. Well, I'm not coming back to Bethlehem. And I'm not coming back to stand on the earth initially. But I'm going to come back to the air. And there's going to be an almighty shout. And perhaps you're asking, why? Why is he coming back? Well, we read in the Bible exactly why he's coming back. He's coming back to take Christians home to heaven. So there'll be a moment in time in the future, and it could be today, and it could be this week. We just don't know. And the Lord Jesus will come back, and just in a nanosecond, every single Christian on this whole planet will disappear. You know, if it happened before 7:15, I wonder if this room would just empty. Most in the room will go.
When I was a young boy, that terrified me because I knew I wouldn't go. I often sat in a meeting just like this, and I thought that thought, the Lord Jesus comes back, the people on either side of me, the people in the row in front of me, the people in the row in front of that, they're all going. And I dreaded the fact that suddenly I'd be the only one in that hall. See, the Bible teaches, and I believe that if that happens, you're not got another opportunity. You've missed your chance. Do you ever trust the Lord Jesus? God in his kindness is giving you now. And he wants to bless you, and he wants to save you, and he wants to change you. But you've got to do something about it. You've got to believe in him. And for a long time, I knew I should be saved, and yet I wasn't. And maybe that's just you tonight. You've heard about the Saviour, you've heard about his love, you've heard about the fact he died on a cross and shed his precious blood. You've heard about the fact that he's offering free salvation, the gift of God, the Bible says. And maybe just up till now you haven't trusted him, you haven't believed in him, you're not relying on him. That means you're not ready for him. And if he comes back, you might be that person, just like me, many, many years ago, just sitting on a seat on your own. Well, he says, is there anything I can do about it? Of course there is. That's why this meeting's convened. It's really the only reason why this meeting's convened. So that you can get saved. So you can trust the Lord Jesus. 10th of January 1977. Just on Friday there. That was my birthday. 43 years old. I know I don't look it, but 43 years old. 43 years since I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour. And the Bible talks about it as new birth. A man called Nicodemus had that encounter with the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus says, Nicodemus, you need a new start in life. You need to be born again. And Nicodemus was confused. The Lord Jesus explained to him, yes, you're religious. And yes, you're attending church. But that's not enough, Nicodemus. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did. And on the 10th of January 1977, so did I. And I'm sure there could be many people here, men and women and young people, and they would just happily tell you that they trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. The circumstances would be different. Some might be in a hall, some might be in this hall, some might be in their house. Some might be a bit older, some might be very young. But the one common denominator is this, they all realised they needed help for years. They realised they had sin in their life, and they wanted that sin forgiven, and they trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. And I've never, ever regretted that decision. I've never met anybody that's ever regretted becoming a Christian. And I never think I ever will. It's just one of those monumental days in your history. I don't know if you're a Christian. You see, that's all that counts. The Bible never asks us how much we've got in our bank. It doesn't matter. You could have £1. You could have £100 million, but it doesn't matter, because none of that matters in relation to eternity. It's have you trusted the Lord Jesus or not? Simple as that. At least I've heard about him and I believe about him. Yeah, but you're relying upon him. I believed about him as well for a long time, but there came that time when I said, I'm going to trust him, I'm going to rely on him. I'm going to believe in him and ask him to come into my life as my Lord and Saviour. Changed my life, and he did. And many in here, though they say, what a discovery. We read in Isaiah chapter 55, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You see, we need to make it a priority. That's what Isaiah is really telling us, seek the Lord. Well, you know, at the start of this year, 2020, I'm sure a lot of people were listing things that they really wanted to do this year. They maybe had a bucket list, the things that I want to accomplish this year, a priority list, whatever way you want to look at it. I wonder how many people had on their list, I want to become a Christian. I want to seek the Lord. That's what Isaiah is saying. You really need to get to that point. But nothing else really matters, and you're just going to seek the Lord Jesus. Make it a priority. You know, if you do seek him, notice what the verse is telling us. It says, he may be found. I like that. You know, some people have the misconception that God is distant and remote and uncaring and uninterested. And yet when you read this wonderful book, you find nothing could be further from the truth. God is interested. Interested in you. Knows all about you. Knows more about you than anybody else. Knows your innermost thoughts. But he's wanting to bless you and he's wanting to save you. And he's demonstrated his love for you by sending his son, the Lord Jesus, to Calvary's cross. And tonight he may be found. Notice what else it says. He is near. I see those people that say, oh, he's distant and he's remote. Not at all. He is near.
We sometimes sing in our hymn, have you found the Saviour?
Precious. More than all on earth beside. And the Lord, and Isaiah here is reminding us that we need to seek him. We need to make it a priority. We need to go in for it. And it can become a reality. What an amazing reality. That he is near. And that he may be found. There's nobody that's ever sought the Lord and been turned away. Not one. If you seek him genuinely, if you're looking to have your sins forgiven genuinely, if you're coming and you recognise that this burden of sin is too great and you want it removed and you recognise the only person that can help you is the Lord Jesus because he is the only person that can help. If you come like that, he won't turn you away. He won't be remote. He won't be uninterested. He'll bless you. He'll save you. He'll change you. What a reality. But you notice there's an urgency in the verse. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. We say, why is it urgent? Remember a few minutes ago I said that the Lord Jesus was coming back again. And the Bible says he's coming soon and he's coming quickly. And the Lord Jesus told a group of his disciples in John chapter 14, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And that's a wonderful promise. And that will happen. And we just don't know when, but if he does come by, I wonder if you're ready to go. You see, that's the urgency. That's why I was concerned as a young boy. Because there'll come a point in time when he won't be able to be found. After the Lord Jesus comes back, too late then to be saved. So there's an urgency about it. We were singing about that, weren't we? Come to the Saviour. Make no delay. You know, for many, many years, perhaps, before I became a Christian, just a young boy, I would sit in a meeting like this, and frequently I would have a concern just exactly about this, and yet I would just leave the door the way I came in. Maybe you're like that. 2 weeks ago, there was a woman from the village came into the hall. She'd been coming for a few weeks. Her name is Carol, and she listened carefully, two people spoke, and at the end she says, you were speaking to me. That's what she thought the speakers were doing. No, they weren't speaking to her. They were speaking to everybody. But God was speaking to her. And the hymn writer says, come to the Saviour, make no delay. Don't assume that there'll be a meeting next week. What was announced? Stephen announced it, but he did say, and he stressed and emphasised, is God willing? You know, if the Lord Jesus comes back during this week, and the Christians go to heaven, there'll be no meeting here next Sunday. People can do what they like with the hall, and they can do what they like with the Christians' cars, because they'll all be there, and you can take them all, and it won't matter anything, because the Christians are home in heaven. But you've been left for judgment, and yet God in his kindness is offering you this moment in time to trust in him. What a discovery. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, because there's an urgency about this matter, but there's a responsibility for you. God has sent his son. He's demonstrated his love for a needy world. And the Lord Jesus died on the cross at infinite cost to himself. And now, God is wanting you to respond by trusting in His Son and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's your responsibility. We can't do it for you. If the Christian friends here could do it for you, or could do it for people here, they would be out 24/7. Just helping people, neighbours, friends, colleagues. That's what we'd be doing all the time if it was possible, just to help people become Christians. But you've got to choose yourself. You've got to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it that so many people aren't Christians? Why is it that the vast majority of people in Fife are not going to heaven? I don't know what the percentage is, but the vast number of people in this county are not ready for heaven. The vast number of people, the majority of people in Scotland aren't ready for heaven. Why? Not because God didn't love them. Not because Christ didn't die on the cross so they can have salvation. But simply because this blessing of salvation remains undiscovered. You know, it'd be possible to come to Edinburgh and to not find any of these statues that I've mentioned. It'd be possible even to come to Edinburgh and possibly not even see the castle. Strange, if you came and you didn't see these amazing things. But how much more tragic to go through life and not to discover the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. That wonderful blessing of salvation, sins forgiven, a hope that you've never had before, a joy, a peace, a happiness. But you know, the amazing thing is that it's a distinct possibility that you could have what most people have in this room tonight. You could have salvation. Notice what we read. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. It's important that we turn our back in our sin. We can't have our sin and God. We've got to turn our back in our sin. That's what the Bible talked about, is repentance. Turning our back in our sin is the thing that's going to keep us away from God. And repenting of our sin, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Notice what it says at the end. And he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What an end to the verse. An abundance of pardon. We say, you don't know my life. You don't know how bad I've been. You know, it doesn't matter. One of the greatest men in the Bible is a man called the Apostle Paul. And he says, I'm the very chief of sinners. That's how he viewed himself. The very worst of sinners. He herded people into prison and on to death. And yet God saved him and changed him and blessed him, and he became an amazing Christian. My wife's grandfather, Mr. Morris, for most of his life, he lived just thinking he wasn't good enough for God. He looked back on his life and the things he had done in his life, and he just thought, God wouldn't have me. I'm glad that at the very end of his life, a long life, and before he died, he trusted the Lord Jesus as his Saviour. Now, you could have that joy tonight. Many in the room have. They're thrilled at even thinking again about salvation and the joy it brings. And many have made these discoveries and are continuing to make wonderful discoveries about the Lord Jesus. It's an ongoing thing. It doesn't stop at salvation. You know, this book becomes more precious as the days go on, as the years go on, as you read it and read it and read it and find out about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a thrill. And you know, the great hope for the Christian, the thing that I dreaded, and maybe many dreaded here before we were Christians, has now become the very thing that we're thrilled to look forward to. That promise that he left his own disciples in John chapter 14, if I go, I will come again. That's a precious promise now, because we're looking forward to it. We're not looking forward to death. It may happen. But everyone here who's a Christian is looking forward to that moment when we must be taken home to heaven originally. I wonder if you've got that expectation and that hope and that joy and that anticipation. Paul was writing to our church at Thessalonica. Relatively recent Christians. And he was just talking about the Lord's coming. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, every chapter. And it's just taken up with this great, thrilling subject. Christ is coming back again. To say if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is something to thrill us. That's something to cheer us. That's something to go into this week with great hope. The Lord Jesus is coming. He that shall come, and will not tarry. We sometimes sing in a hymn, but I can almost hear his footfall. On the threshold of the door, and my heart is longing to be with him evermore. And that's so true. If we've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we've made that discovery that David Livingstone made, that bondage of sin could be removed through faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. To make that discovery that Sir Walter Scott made, that this book is better than any other book because it tells us how to get to heaven. And it tells us about the person who can take us to heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. To make that discovery that amazing man, Sir James Simpson, made, that sin was his greatest problem. And he discovered that he needed a saviour. And that there was a saviour who died on the cross so that he could have forgiveness. Wonderful discoveries. Life-changing discoveries. Vital discoveries. Because if we don't make them, we're not really going to heaven at all. Oh, that you might get right with God. Listen to the words again. With this I close. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, that he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Shall we pray? Our Father, we do thank you again for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for one who loved us and who demonstrated such love by dying on the cross for us. We thank you, Father, for the offer of mercy and the offer of pardon. We thank you, God, for thy word, which reminds us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we thank you for such a wonderful message, such a vital message. Father, we pray that every person gathered, and we're grateful for every who's taken the time to come, we just pray that each one of us might know for certain that we're trusting thee, relying upon thee, placing our faith in thy Son, the Lord Jesus, and that we're ready for heaven. And if there be someone who's joined us who hasn't yet made that vital discovery and decision, we pray that even today, even now, even before this day would run its course, they might have accepted thy Son as their Saviour. So, Father, we do thank thee again for our time together. Pray thy blessing upon us in parting. We ask these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus.